B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome in, Zolak and Bertrand, here on a Tuesday. Hi, Zo.
Hi.
Hotty?
Yeah.
Good to see yous.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good to see yous.
Everybody good?
Yeah, everyone's good.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. All right, well.
I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, but since today's Tuesday, just buy the hamburger.
Yeah, right? Just making a simple transaction. Here's the money. Thanks for the burger. Let's get on with our lives. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Today's your day, huh, pal? Hardy's going to lose it today.
Who, it's Hardy? Today's his day?
I'm kind of feeling like it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Remember The Shining with Jack Nicholson? He was normal, and then he started to get that look. And he's sitting at the bar having a drink. Yeah.
What do you mean, Hardy? You're out of the house? You're driving to work now?
Yeah, that yes.
That boy of mine, he is a very willful boy.
Yes. Oh, God.
You got the jacuzzi now to go home and relax, too?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
I'm sorry, hot tub. Jacuzzi is a brand, right?
Yeah.
It's like saying, hey, I have a Kleenex. Well, this isn't Kleenex. It's just a tissue.
And number one, you're right. I didn't know that. And number two, I believe it is a spa, technically.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's a spa.
I mean, if you're going to be part of our community of, swinging spa enthusiasts, then let's use the proper terminology, okay?
Okay, fair enough. Will do. Great. I'm not joining your community as far as I know, but congratulations again on the purchase.
Just know that that big glass bowl by the front door next time you come over to the house is for goldfish.
That's where the keys go.
Drop the keys in there, baby.
You got it.
Make sure you drink enough water.
Why? You get dehydrated in the spa?
You get very dehydrated, especially if you're going to use it as frequently as I think you will, especially in the first month, and then fascination goes away, and then it becomes a thing that you store things on top of. You're going to find your kids are going to put more things on that cover of that hot tub, and then, you know what, shoot, we could play ping pong on it. We could put a food spread out on it. Yeah, that's about month three.
Change your filters, Hardy.
Not a chance.
How much I use that ping pong table still?
Oh, we still use it. We've been using it now, especially when,
attaboy.
You get, inspired to do things. Wait a second. We've got an air hockey / ping pong / pool table downstairs that your Uncle T-Bone, worked very, very hard to load in the back of my truck.
I don't think you can get it in now.
Yeah. These days, God, he probably wouldn't be able to do it anymore.
Bring him and his brother. Beatles brother.
Yeah, he's going to need some help this time.
Poor guy. I mean, I've seen him in person now the last 2 days. Shirt's just hanging off of him.
You know how Costanza used to talk about feats of strength, especially like during Festivus?
Oh, yeah.
I still got the power. And I found this out yesterday from our good friends from Spiegel there. They came and took my lawnmower, which is heavy. It's an old original 1990s John Deere, so it is all metal. It's not a lot of plastic.
Is that when John Deere began, 1990? So the
I think it was 91 was when he started, right?
And he put these two flimsy boards that we had to wheel this sucker up into the truck. And he's like, oh, I got it. And I'm like, you don't have it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had to help heave that thing. And
you felt good about yourself after?
When you don't want something on your property, you will do anything you can to get that bastard in the back of a truck to get it out of here. And boy, did I lift that thing.
That's impressive. Yeah, yeah, Tom is still strong, though. He can lift 60 pounds over his head like that. You should see it.
He's powerful.
Yeah, he's really strong. But a pool table, you know, just picking up that whole game console, air hockey pool thing, just, you know, single-handedly.
What's the slate?
The
three pieces of slate, that's where they get you with the pool table from a heavy standpoint.
Yeah, I don't know if he's doing that solo anymore. Not this week.
T-Bone does look, he looks good right now. He looks like he's at a good level of muscle right now.
He looks like a normal person that would walk down the street instead of some weirdo that stares at himself inside a gym in a window.
Correct.
Like,
T-Bone is also helped by the fact that his hair is longer now because he had that massive skull from God knows whatever he's injecting himself with.
Right.
You know that it increases your...
Barry Bonds head.
Right.
Yeah. Hydroxycloding, yeah.
So now the cranium is shrinking. And the hair is growing.
How many hat sizes did he think he grew since he started this workout? You know,
new clothes, new hats, new everything.
I like my ass
feet
off one day.
His feet have shrunk, for Christ's sake. But he is looking more and more every day, more and more like a human boy, because he is physically fit, but the head is shrinking down. The hair is growing out.
It just
helps everything proportionately again.
Right. Remember Barry Bonds' rookie card? How normal he looked. Like, look how little his head is.
Proportionate.
Yeah.
And then I was coming in the summer when Ted Johnson was filling in for one of the morning guys. Is Fred back? Did Fred make it back today?
I believe he did.
He doing all right? Okay, good.
I hope so.
Last week he lost 10 pounds. This morning I heard he said he had lost 35 pounds.
Fred has?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's
from some sort of workout?
He said he doesn't eat anymore.
Disease. Oh, geez.
Yeah. It's a disease.
Oh, no.
So if Ted was walking out of the studio, Tom was coming down the hallway, and the two of them, they turned like sideways to look at each other, and it was like, it's like two Rock'em Sock'em robots talking to each other. They turn. Neither one could turn their neck.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Tom could turn his neck now.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And Andy's on the phones today. So, ladies, 617-779-0985.
You know what we'll do with Tom? This is the test I used to do with him before, just to check his mobility and pliability. I'm like, Tom, all right, you're getting ready to deliver the pitch. Hold on a second. Check the runner at first. And the way he used to do it when he would check the runner at first was just move his entire body.
Shoulders would move. Mm-hmm. All the shoulders would rotate.
Right. Now, Tom, let's just do it real quick.
Just turn that. Check.
No, look at that. Check, look at him. Check the runner.
Check the runner.
Oh, my God. He looked like one of those rubber giraffes. That was amazing. Whoo. All right. So this is working out well for him. I'm happy for him.
It's good. I am too.
I don't want the quarantine to end now. Everything's going so well for him.
Just keep it going. Just keep it going forever. 617-779-0985. At the end of yesterday's show, remember what we were talking about right at the end of the show? About the state that would be a problem?
Yes.
You remember talking about that in passing?
California.
At the end of the show? It's going to be a problem.
Yeah, California. We were talking about the NFL. The NFL potentially going to play. That's going to be the one big league it's going to play. But we got a massive problem because... You said it. You said you had the San Francisco 49ers coming off a Super Bowl. You got the two big L.A. teams at that brand-new stadium, and those teams are going to have to look outside of that state to start to train and have their headquarters somewhere else, sort of like Elon Musk, right?
So Gavin Newsom yesterday said pro sports may be open in his state by early June, is what he said yesterday. Actually, here it is. Listen to Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
Sporting events, pro sports, in that first week or so of June without spectators and modifications and very prescriptive conditions also can begin to move forward, and a number of other sectors of our economy will open up again if we hold these trend lines in the next number of weeks. And that includes, for example, getting a haircut.
prescriptive conditions must be met with things opening in California. But Gavin Newsom, who has been very, very tight with his controls in California and has earned the reputation as being someone who's very tough on coronavirus, he is saying that pro sports can be playing games. He's talking about actual games being played in empty stadiums, of course, by the start of June. So I think, from what I gather, And maybe some of you know more about this than I do, so yep. Please chime in. Anyone, 617-779-0985. It feels like L.A. County is still going to have some restrictions that don't exist for the rest of the state. I would compare it to Miami-Dade County in Florida versus the rest of Florida, right? These larger, bigger states where there are particular areas that are going to face more restrictions and shutdowns than maybe the rest of the state. California is one giant state, as we know. So LA County may still have some issues. I don't know exactly where the facilities are for all those teams, the ones that are playing in LA, but maybe yep. they have to do some maneuvering to get their stuff up and running. But as of now, it doesn't appear that California will be the roadblock anymore. It looks like that door is open.
The Rams was very close to, remember when they had the forest fires and they had to move the Kansas
yes.
City game?
Correct.
To what hat did they move it to? They were going to play it in Mexico, right? The field was
yeah.
bad. And they had to shuffle the game back and forth.
Did they go to Miami or something? Where did they play that game?
They ended up playing that in the Coliseum. They did. They played that game in a Coliseum, I think. But I remember that where that new stadium is located, their new facility is not far from that. It's like in that same neighborhood. So they're not downtown L.A. You
yeah.
know, and San Francisco is not in San Francisco. They're quite removed from the city of San Francisco.
So the Rams facility is currently in Agora Hills, which is in L.A. County, which has yet to ease restrictions. They've moved a bunch since they got there in 2016. I guess they've had a number of different headquarters. They're currently looking to build a permanent headquarters, but their current business staff works from an office in L.A. County, so they can't open their office. And they're currently using the football facilities at Cal Lutheran University's campus in Ventura County, which has eased restrictions. Do you follow that? So, like, on the business side, the team where their offices are in L.A. County. The practice
yeah.
field is not in L.A. County. So what does that mean? Can they open or not? You know, are they going to be able
right.
to do everything they need to do? And maybe the business people pick up their crap and go move over to wherever, you know, the next county over. So I don't know. They're going to have to maybe figure something out if L.A. County continues to face issues. But here, we don't even have to get into those details. The detail is this. California is not going to stop a game from being played in their state.
And
LA
I really
County,
I just by assumption had assumed that they were going to be the ones that were going to really hold this thing up for everybody. Baseball, you name it.
Yeah, and now I don't think that's the case.
Right.
Here's a question. Is the new stadium in California going to open?
Oh, I said yeah, because did construction get halted?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. I mean, there have been construction delays already, but I'm wondering if it's tentatively scheduled to open in July.
I mean,
is that still on track?
And I would think they still have the option. I mean, they have places where they can play. I mean, they can play where they played last season, presumably, in a worst case scenario.
And the other question would be, if LA County doesn't ease restrictions, could they even use the new stadium? It is in LA County.
There you go.
So there's like some other questions, but the governor there is not going to get in the way, which impacts more than just the two football teams. There are other sports, obviously, and baseball being one that will take into consideration California. And now this seems like this is not going to be in the way. So that is, I think, was the major roadblock we talked about with leagues saying, well, we can't even operate in a particular state. We're going to have to figure something out. It doesn't appear they're going to have to do that anymore. They're getting closer to that. It's already May 19th, and the governor of California is saying by early June or by the month of June, we could have professional sports games being played in this state. NHL is talking about hub cities again, and they've narrowed their list down to 10. We'll get to that coming up next.
Zone and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Beetle, Hardy, Zoe, Hardy in our Town Fair Tire Studios at 98.5 The Sports Hub. The NHL has narrowed their list of hub cities down to less than 10. Gary Bettman said 8 or 9. And by the way, according to reports this week, the NHL is focusing on a plan to have 24 teams in the playoffs. My God, do I hate this. I hate everything about this. Hub cities, they're maybe going to narrow it down to 3. They haven't figured this out yet. I can't believe they have not figured this out yet. We have gone, what, 70 or so days without sports? Again, when I say figure it out, I don't expect them to have something in concrete ready to go and start up. Just have a plan. At least a plan, guys. And they just keep kicking around this thing about hub cities and a new format, and they still haven't decided anything yet. They haven't decided a damn thing in this sport. And as every day passes, I feel less and less confident that the NHL is going to pull it off. Because every time I hear their comments and the tone of the comments, it feels like they are a long ways away. I feel like baseball's ahead of them. The NFL is certainly ahead of them. They have the benefit of not having games until September. Right. But the NHL, man, they are far behind. They are lagging. Even the NBA, who I don't think has really formulated their plan or talked about it publicly, at least I know that league can pick it up quickly. Hockey, you can't do that, Zoe. You've been very big on that point during this.
Here we are again. I mean,
you need time.
Another, we're going to be another week removed before they even address this. Like another week not skating. You know, I mean, did you see anything yesterday where their ice rink's open and hey, you could go down there and make a reservation for a private skate, but keep your social distancing, wear a mask. No, I just don't know how these hockey guys are going to come back. And I say come back effectively. You know.
Well, you're saying come back and have it look like anything resembling
what is a
normal
playoff
run.
And they want to make all these adjustments, too, right, to the game. You know, like face-offs. And like, no.
We're going to add an additional 8 teams into the playoffs? That is
no.
Wholly unnecessary.
We're just making up stuff as we go here because we're in a different world now? No, you can't
I think
do that.
You know what pisses me off about it? I think it's going to hose the Bruins.
Of course it
is. They're going to get an unfair shake, and it sucks.
The Bruins are the biggest team that has gotten effed by this entire situation. They're the best team in hockey, and they were rolling, and they had great chemistry at that time. And then, bam, you hit a wall. Oh, go away for 3 months, and then we'll bring you back, and we'll see what you got. As everybody else heals up, and all of a sudden, we can put another couple teams in. And you know how that sport of hockey goes. And one of them damn goalies on one of those lower-seeded teams gets hot. Good luck.
So I know that Felger has brought up this point. I think it's an excellent one when he says, is it a fraud championship? We've discussed that. We talked about what if the Bruins were to win the cup when it's still
I say yes.
The same.
Yes.
Right? But his point has been, and I'm repeating what he has said, and that is, well, tell me who wins. Because if it's the Bruins who win in the NHL, yeah, that's legit. They're one of the best teams all year long. If the Lakers win the NBA Finals, yeah, that is legit. They were the best team, one of the best teams in the league all year long.
Right.
And then they won like they're supposed to. And in the NBA, that almost always happens where the top seeds are competing and winning the championship. Top seeds with the top players. That's who wins in the NBA. In the NHL, yeah, it's a little different. You have a little bit more of a shot if you're a lower seed. But now all of a sudden 24 teams are going to be in, and you may adjust the format that you play with. This is just ripe for some team to come out of nowhere that otherwise wouldn't even be in the playoffs to take advantage of the format, take advantage of maybe a younger roster, able to bounce back quickly and adjust on the fly, overcoming better teams and winning it. And the NHL is just priming itself for a fraud champion. That's what they're doing. I can feel it already, and I'm pissed about it because the Bruins are going to get hosed.
You just feel it coming. You know they're going to get popped. It's going to happen.
Right, because they're a veteran team. They're a little bit older. They might take a little bit more time to get up and running and get back to where they were in early March. And I can already envision this, and I hate it.
What if that first round took us not as sharp as he was at the end? Now all of a sudden you got issues.
Do you blame him? Do you blame anybody for not being as sharp when they come back?
I tell you what, if any team, when they force you to come back and everything's different, you're not playing in front of fans, and this is not the new norm. And I know we term it the new normal, but to a human being, this isn't normal, and it is awkward. You need your full attention to detail. Everything you put into it as a professional athlete, you've got to be honed in. I would not criticize any of these teams if they get popped.
Well, that's it. And not only that, Zoe, but when you talk about a hot goaltender and being able to, you know, ride
look at
that
Bennington.
Right? Well, it could, but
Bennigans.
It could.
Yeah.
Bennigans.
I love Bennigans. Friday nights.
I'm not saying it happens every year, but it could happen any year. I mean, you look at last year. There's really no reason why the Bruins didn't have to play either the Lightning or the Capitals in the postseason last year, other than someone took care of them early, and they got popped early on for you. So while it would suck, and yeah, the Bruins have been a very good team, and I think they deserve not only a shot at doing it, but I would expect them to make a deep playoff run. If they were to get popped early, it would kind of be balancing things out from what happened last year, where, let's face it, you didn't have to go through the toughest two teams. I was happy about it. I'm not one of these guys who says, give me the toughest road, give me the toughest test.
Yeah, you know,
I want
nobody remembers it. Nobody remembers that part, ever.
Remembers what part of it, Beetle?
That you didn't go through it, that you went through easier teams.
Right,
Who cares?
Right.
You don't remember that. So, you made it to the Super Bowl in 96. That's all we remember. Yep. Only the diehards will say, yeah, but they had the benefit of Denver losing.
That Denver team was stacked.
No one brings that up. No one brings it up.
They got beat by an expansion franchise, went into Denver and popped them.
The story is the Patriots made it to the Super Bowl, and with a couple of plays going the other way, maybe they could have won that Super Bowl. That's how that story is told. You know, it's about Desmond Howard. It's not about, oh, the Patriots shouldn't have been there. That's never been the story. So I'm with you, Hardy. I've always agreed with you on that.
No.
It's so silly. I don't need to play the hard teams. I do sometimes enjoy it. I like it when you think your team is the absolute best and you think you'd get better games out of it. And you as a fan, you think, yeah, there's no doubting that championship.
Yeah.
The Patriots beating Kansas City at Kansas City 2 years ago. That was awesome.
So
right?
Here goes the water.
Oh, here goes the water.
I'm sorry.
Again.
So let me ask you this, though, Bill.
Yeah.
You feel the Bruins could be put in an unfair spot if they were to resume play, and you think it would be possible and really. Really a shame if they were to get popped early on because they don't deserve to in this postseason. Am I hearing you correctly on this?
Yes, and I think that I'm curious to know what exactly the format will be. I think that's really important, too, because if they – Hardy, I think if the Bruins are a little slow getting back because of, again, a lot of veterans on that roster, they'd be much better served playing a full seven-game series like usual.
Okay, now –
if they shorten up a series, that's where all of a sudden – oh, damn it. Like, you know, you get out, you start a little slow in a series, and you end up getting popped because you didn't have the full seven games to play the thing out.
Okay, but didn't you say when we were talking about the NHL playoffs, like, you know, weeks ago, that whoever wins the Stanley Cup this year is going to be a big asterisk next to it? It's not the same thing. You didn't have to play a full regular season. You didn't have to, you know, worry about waves of momentum in or out. If they start, especially if they just start up with the playoffs, if you end up winning it, it's a real, but.
I still feel that way, that it won't feel the same. Yes, I do.
Yet you're still afraid that the Bruins won't win it all.
I still want them to win it all. It's not like I'm saying, oh, don't bother winning it. I just don't think it will be the same.
Well,
that doesn't mean it sucks. It's just saying something is overrated doesn't mean it sucks.
Okay,
it's still great if they were to win it.
Well, let me tell you this. If they do play.
It'd be greater if they had won Game 7 last year. But it will still be great if they win this year.
Okay. Well, listen, if they do play and they do end up falling short.
And by the way, I don't think they're playing anyway. I think they're going to screw this up.
Yeah, but that doesn't serve our purposes right now. Hold on to that. If they do play and they do end up losing somewhere before they get a chance to hoist the Stanley Cup, remember, you're not going to feel all that bad about it.
Just feel like they got screwed.
You're not going to feel like they got screwed because it doesn't matter anyway.
Take your picture with the cup when it comes in?
I think it counts, and it still counts, and it counts just the same, and in some ways it counts even more because I think it's unique. This is a unique season. Whatever team, if they end up playing, ends up winning it all, is going to be accomplishing something that no other team has accomplished before. It will be a singular achievement. I hope it's a singular achievement. Yeah. I hope this never happens again.
Hardy, and obviously because we've never seen anything like this, we have no idea what it's actually going to feel like. We're only making predictions at this point.
Yeah.
I reserve the right with every take. I could change my mind. I could come to your side. Once we see it and it's real, maybe I'll change my mind. But
okay.
I'm projecting right now that it's going to feel different and it won't feel as great.
Right.
But
you've got
I could be wrong.
Your feelings.
I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again.
I'm just saying your feelings have an out if you want them. You know, just remember that.
I don't like taking the out like that.
Okay. All right.
Hardy, you mentioned a unique season. How do you catch a unique rabbit?
How's a?
You sneak up on it.
How many times? How many times?
I know.
Once a year.
How many? I know.
Once
you,
a year. You forget it every time.
No. Did I forget it?
We haven't spent a lot of time talking about the NHL with their masks and what they might require players to do. There's also news today on what the NFL is going to be maybe asking their players to do with masks. We'll throw that into the conversation and your calls coming up after headlines. Here's Artie.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Heard Hardy say in headlines, the NFL is working on new face masks with N95 or surgical materials. The NFL already has an exclusive deal now with Oakley for visors on their helmets. They are working with Oakley to develop the possible face masks that would contain materials used in surgical or N95 masks. Oakley is the official provider of helmet visors now in the NFL. Have you guys ever seen one of these new Oakley visors, by the way?
No.
They have them out at the Super Bowl, and I actually checked them out. They're insane. So not a lot of guys were wearing visors when you were playing because
Terry Glenn was the only guy that did it.
Right. And
I don't know how he saw the damn ball.
Exactly, right? If you used to look through those, you would see they were all tinted, number one. And on top of that, you would get, like, reflections in them. And you would get sort of like shadows, and I don't think a lot of players wore them because I don't think they were all that good. And over time, you've seen more and more players wear them. The Oakley Clear Visor is insane. It looks like there's nothing in front of your face. It's remarkable. So players can wear those now if they force that on them, and at least the technology is really good. So you can see through them, and you don't have to worry about your vision being impeded or looking out the corner.
What are you doing in a rain game? What are you doing in a mud game?
Now that is a great question, because what do you do then? Like, now you've got stuff all over it. So I don't know. I don't know what would happen then. But they're also now talking about putting some sort of mask over the bottom of the face mask.
Right.
And I'm curious to hear what you think about that. I don't think it's a big deal. Like, if it's on the mask.
As long as it's not on your face like this, where you're muffled, so you're able to talk, you're able to communicate, more importantly, able to breathe. I mean, for the big, heavy guys, they, you know, you hear them in the huddle, they're sucking wind. I couldn't picture them playing with anything, any sort of protection exactly up against the face. But, I mean, if anybody's ever gone and played paintball, you know, you have the visor. It's like a ski goggle on.
Yeah.
And there's some protection across the top. And then there's this, like, spongy material inside of plastic that hangs down over your nose and mouth,
right,
which doesn't impede your breathing, and I don't think it would be that big a deal.
Is it perfect? Of course not.
Talking about two different things. I mean, that's literally just a hard shield.
It's a spit shield is what it is.
No, it's to protect the paintball from hitting you directly in the mouth.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily stop any, you know, virus particles from going in or out. So, yeah,
no,
I'm sure
inside that, Hardy, it's padded. You know what I mean? But so I could see how they would develop, okay, here's your face mask, but inside that face mask, we'll have N95 type material, which is like a thin foam or neoprene. Like, it'd basically be like covering your face mask.
Have you worn an N95 right. mask?
Me?
Yes.
No.
I have.
Okay. So, Beetle, you know, they're not.
Yes.
This isn't like your, you know, surgical mask that you can buy now in the convenience store in a pack of 10
right.
for $5.
No.
These are, I mean,
they're
these,
thicker than that.
Yeah, they're a
they're
lot
harder.
Yeah, and I'm with Zoe. Even if you save that, please. Even if you put that like an inch away from your mouth,
save that, please.
There's your takeaway.
It's gonna be so hot.
Save that, please.
No, you're playing in Miami. You know, for week one or two.
Yeah.
Anything that's going to obstruct your breathing in front of your nose or mouth, they're not.
I don't think it
they
is.
Are not.
I think it's too far away. Like, it's so far off your face.
How far off do you think that the shield is going to be
it's
off
like
your face?
2 inches. Yeah. It's like 2.5 inches.
So you think it's in. Not. It's
Save a, that, please.
Is anything going to be resting on your chin? No, we're not going to do that.
Your chin strap.
I think it's way, way too optimistic for you to say, like, I won't bother these guys. They'll love it. They're not.
No, they're not going to love it at all. They're going to absolutely hate it, as would I. If you're used to a certain something, no one likes this. No one wants to wear a visor. I mean, the guys that don't wear them don't want to wear them. And the guys that are used to having an open face mask where you get all the, you know, fresh air in your face and you've got a nice breeze crossing the field.
Yes.
You can feel it on your face. No, it could be a little warmer. Yeah, no,
yeah,
absolutely.
A little warmer and quite frankly, if it is like 2.5 inches away, what's the effectiveness then?
Well, I think what it is it's not as effective as wearing a mask. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm with Zoe. It's sort of like a spit shield. Like, it's sort of, it's stopping the visor obviously is a hard shield, so nothing is going through that. And when you put that material around the bottom of the mask, you're breathing out when you exhale, you know, less of your germs and whatever viruses are in your breath are not going to go back out as much. It cuts down on some of it. And this is what it's really all about, Artie. It's about getting people to look at the sport and say, all right, they're at least trying, and they're trying to do this safely. And for every board of health in every major metropolitan area that they're going to be doing this, they say, okay, go ahead. You're taking as much precaution as you can. And so, like, if that's what it takes to play, just do it. Like, that shouldn't put you out that much that you can't manage to play.
Yeah.
I get it. It sucks. No one wants this. The whole thing sucks. Everything sucks, Hardy. Everything sucks right now. If that's a sacrifice they have to make, that's not a bad one. I actually think, Hardy, the NHL players are going to be put out more than NFL players.
Well, the NHL players, when it comes to wearing any kind of shields, I mean, a lot of those guys still, to this day, I think even some of the younger players would rather not be required to wear that borderline do-nothing eye shield that they push back on their head half the time. So it, you know, really doesn't impede any of their vision. If they're forced into some kind of a full mask thing,
yeah,
they are
back with the broken
I think
jaw.
They're a bunch of babies when they cry about the eye shield. Like, that thing is so minimal. But when it comes to a full shield, that sucks.
I don't
to have your whole face inside a shield like that.
Okay, yeah, and I agree with you. It seems like ridiculous and babyish for that. I have no understanding of how they're able to do what they do. So if they say that eye shield affects their vision and their ability to see the game and see the puck, I have to believe them because, quite frankly, I don't know how they do any of it. I mean, to me, that's the sport that I can't wrap my head around how these guys are able to play as hard as they do, as physically as they do, and as fast as they do, and still see that puck. So I will take their word for it that it is cumbersome and they don't like it for a good reason. And yes, that one's going to be an issue. You want those guys to go to some kind of, as Zoe just said, Chara-like full face thing that he had to wear after his jaw injury. Good luck. They are going to fight
Hardy,
that one.
Hardy, go back and look at the Chara face mask. The Chara face mask that he wore in the finals, NHL. The bottom of it was all hard, of course, but the bottom of it was fully vented.
Yeah, the ventilation on it is, of course, not going to be as good as having it open. It's not that bad. They just don't want anything obstructed. They don't want anything to obstruct their view. They don't want anything to obstruct their vision at all. And that one's going to be tough. It will, again, come down to, well, how badly do you want to play? If someone else decides from a medical or a league standpoint that this is the best idea we can come up with, and yes, it will make a difference in terms of containment and you know, overall safety for the health of you guys, how badly do you want to play? Because this is what we're doing. And
I bet
we'll
go. I bet they go to the Chara face mask plus some sort of filter over those openings. Watch. Just wait for it. Yeah. Wait for how ridiculous the NHL helmet looks like. I think that has some potential to be completely ridiculous. 617-779-0985. Why don't we get to your calls? We can open phone lines if you want to grab one right now. Do it. We'll talk to you next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
5, the Sport.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five is the telephone number. Let's go to your calls on the Bruins. Got some Bruins calls on the board. David's in New Bedford. Hi, David.
Yes, I am concerned about the 24 playoff team because if the Montreal Canadiens get in, the Bruins have trouble with the Canadiens, and I could see them knocking the Bruins off. And that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Okay. I've heard this brought up, that how would you like a potential matchup with the Canadiens if that were to happen because the Canadiens find their way into the playoffs?
No, thank you.
I don't know. If you're as good as you think the Bruins are,
Canadiens suck.
And you're so convinced they're going to win the Cup, then you shouldn't be worried about the Canadiens. That's what I feel.
It's not the same. No, but it goes back to what we were talking about, Beetle. You want your team to make it as far as they possibly can. Do you want them to have a hard road to get there, or do you want an easy road? Which do you want?
It doesn't matter to me. I don't think you remember the hard or easy road.
Okay. Well, I want them to get as far as possible, and I don't want anything to do with Montreal. I just don't.
Okay. Which goes to the theory that because all these crap bag teams get allowed into the mix, that they could get popped early and they'll get hosed. So that does describe the hosing right there, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right?
Yeah.
So we shall see. I just want to say, though, too, with the asterisk on the cup, if they win, Hardy, as I've said before, that works both ways. So if the Bruins do have that happen to them, where they get eliminated earlier than expected, I'm not going to crush them for it. But you're going to have to crush them for it because this is all on the up and up and it's all the same. Right? Doesn't that work both ways?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it wouldn't have counted as much, but I'm also not going to be as critical of them if they lose early. The system was set up against them, and it's an odd time, and
no,
it's
but
not
we're
really...
We're just talking about, like, singular matchups. You know, if you're talking about, you know, if we were talking about the Patriots and they had to, you know, jumpstart their season late, it's like, well, who do you want them to play? Do you want them to have to go... Do you want them to have to play the Ravens? You know, if we were talking about last year, would you rather have someone else play the Ravens? You know, before you have to face them. It's, you know, it's simple as that. And we're talking about two very different...
But we're talking about a team that is far out of the wild card race right now. How many games out are they?
I agree. It's just there's something about that team that I don't like the matchup with the Bruins, and I don't like them having to play them when...
Well, especially if your goalie's a head case and he has problems playing there.
But he doesn't. That's a misnomer. He's figured that out.
Well, he does go sneaking up. Or whatever, they're not good.
Whatever
I
the hell
care.
Hub they're going to end up right. playing in. I still can't believe they're going to
Is PK Subban still there? No.
Yeah, but Zoe, I got to admit, as I've said, I don't think the ghosts are as strong when you don't have fans in the building. You go to Montreal and the building's empty, you could be playing anywhere. Does it even matter that you're in Montreal? The building's empty.
Yeah.
It's just another rink. It's just another sheet of ice. So that's part of what I think is lost in this process. If Toronto comes to Boston at any point in the playoffs where there's no one there, is it even really like going to Boston? What's the diff? You're just playing on another sheet of ice. That's the part that's very different right now, is the road stuff, going on the road to places where you have a hard time playing. Mark is in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. First of all, I just want to say one thing before I get to my Bruins comment. Personally, I don't think the Montreal Canadiens have been relevant to the Bruins since Nathan Horton put them away in Game 7 in 2011. Montreal sucks. And, Beetle, to answer your question, I believe they were like 10 games out of the playoffs, right? 10 points out of the playoffs right now, if I'm not mistaken. But as far as the Bruins being at a disadvantage when they come back because they're a veteran team, they're an older team, You know, I think it's going to benefit them with this long break, especially injury-wise, and the veterans like Chara, Krejci, Maja, and Rask. I don't think it would be a hindrance for them at all. You got to remember one thing, guys. Every team in this league that's going to come back and play, they haven't done anything either, young or old. They haven't done a thing.
I mean, that's true. I think what you're describing is true. This is where the Bruins would benefit. Their team is better positioned for a long run than they would have been. And my issue is, my concern for them is not a long run. In fact, he's right. If the Bruins were to go all the way to the Cup Final, they're going to be a lot fresher in that situation than they were a year ago. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's health. Yeah. Because you're rested. You're healthy.
So that to me is a benefit, but it's just a matter of getting out of the gate strong, because I think younger teams are going to be better suited to get out of the gate and get off to a good start. That's all. So as long as they overcome that at the beginning, I think they will be well positioned. And they're also a team that's been there and done it before. And maybe the mental aspect of it won't be as tough on a team that's an older, I think, mentally tough team. Steve is in Boston. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to talk about the face shields for the football helmets.
Yes.
I wore one in college when I played it. I had a bad eye injury. And before, it was so much better. Playing with it, it adds about 10 degrees in the summer, really hot, hard to breathe. And the really bad part is when you hit someone, the sweat from your face and everything flies all over it. And that's the worst part of it, is that fogs up and stains on there. The rain and the mud isn't such an issue. It's the sweat that stays on and cleaning that part of it. So that's pretty much the worst part about those.
Yeah, you know what? I hadn't even really thought to so much, as much about that. You ever, like, do something outside, Zoe, and you end up sweating on your sunglasses?
Yeah, I mean,
you got to clean them, you got to wash them, you got to get it all off, and then, you know, if you're doing that 100 times a game, taking the helmet off, spraying it, wiping it, whatever it might be.
I got poked.
That could get annoying.
I got poked as a freshman in the eye, and they threw a mask on. Save real that. Quick just to God damn it.
Yeah, go on.
Now he's messing.
They threw a mask on at practice, you know, during spring ball, and I took it off the next day. It just the glare, everything. It's just you feel like you're playing inside a box. Hated it.
Yeah,
save that.
Alex,
save everything.
Alex and Lynn. Alex.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Hi.
What's up?
Let me start off by this. Montreal sucks. There's absolutely nothing intimidating about them. The only way I could see them possibly making any type of legitimate run is if Carey Price stood on his head.
That was
and
it.
Absolutely carried that team.
Yeah. Listen,
but I don't see that happening off of a 3-month wait.
Okay,
but let me just get to my main point. Sorry about that. All right, but just so you know,
that's my whole point about not playing Montreal. It's not about, you know, what they've done against them in the last couple of years. Hell, I think this year, I think the Bruins were 3-1 against them in the regular season, including when they absolutely trounced him once. Like, you know, they hung like 8 goals on him. It's Carey Price. Yeah. I want nothing to do with Carey Price in the postseason. I don't.
Listen, when he catches fire, I definitely get where you're coming from. But now on to my main point. I don't even think you'd have to worry about Montreal, because the rumor has it that the NHL would go through a 1-12 seeding process, which would put Montreal in a 3-game play-in with Pittsburgh, and then if they were to somehow win that, have to play Philadelphia. And I don't see them either.
How do they do the 3-way play-in? What's that suggestion?
So the suggestion for that is a 3-game play-in. The 5 would play 12, 6 would play 11, so on and so forth, all the way to 8 playing 9.
And how many games? How many games would they play?
It'd be a 3-game play, not 3-way. I'm sorry if I said that wrong.
Okay, got it. I got it. That makes sense. Nope, I understand what you mean. Okay.
So, anyway, so if they were to hypothetically win against Pittsburgh, they'd have to play Philly. But my question for you, Beetle, is this. You were talking earlier, if the Bruins were to lose, you wouldn't quite feel as bad. Now, yes. I have a question based off that. So, say hypothetically the Bruins made a run to either the semifinals or conference finals, where they played one of these three teams on the bye, whether that be in the proposed playoff format, whether that be Washington, Tampa Bay, or Philadelphia, which would be the three other teams that got it. If they were to hypothetically lose to one of those three teams that had the same type of weight as the Bruins,
yep,
would you feel as bad, or would you feel bad at all about them losing that series? Because those other three teams seem like...
No, that's a legit loss to one of the better... there is a group of top teams. No, I wouldn't feel bad about that, would you?
I'm actually a Flyers fan, so no, I probably wouldn't. I was just
okay, yeah, but that would represent a normal season. That would represent like a normal outcome. You know, you get to the conference finals against another top team, and you end up losing. I wouldn't look down upon them at that if they lost.
And honestly, between you and me, I think Boston and Philly were on a collision course for the East Finals. Those two teams looked like the two best teams in the East before this whole break happened, unfortunately. I think that would have been an awesome series, but I'll let you guys go and talk about it. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, and if they thanks, Alex. And if they make it to the conference final, they avoided my fear, which is getting an early exit. So, no, I think that would be it would be a satisfactory run. Hey, you got to the Eastern Conference Finals, and you lost to either the Lightning or Caps. I mean, those are two great teams. What's Stamkos' deal, by the way? Is he going to be ready to go?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he had that surgery.
We talked about it a while ago. Yeah, he'd be ready to go.
He had that surgery.
It's like the whole Durant Kyrie thing. Those guys will be back.
Yeah. Yeah, so like right around March 1st, he was going to be out 2 months.
We talked about what type of rule should there be. Like, should there be a time period where you would sit out based on the way the season was going to be played out? Should you have to sit out accordingly? Because that's not really fair, right?
But
hurt.
Well, I mean, Steven Stamkos played all year.